Praise God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Some people still need to practice how to show emotion. I just too serious. Say, welcome to church, welcome. If you like, don't come. Praise God. Today we're going to continue on the series Emotions. And I'm really trusting God that this whole month is going to be very helpful for you. Many people underestimate the place of emotions in our life. And actually, it is very, very important. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't give us emotions. Everything God gave us is useful and important. And when it comes to emotions, it's not only useful and important, it is actually powerful. Hallelujah. It is actually powerful. It's just like your mind, how powerful your mind is. That is how also your emotions are very powerful. Praise God. Very powerful. And so they asked Jesus, our text scripture we've been using in Mark chapter 12. They asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment? What's the first commandment? And Jesus said, it's very simple. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your what? Soul. With all your mind and with all your what? Strength. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Let's put some more emotion into it. One, two, go. Your heart. With all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Okay, so if you notice, he mentioned the three aspects of a human being. He said, you will love the Lord your God with your heart, which is your spirit. Let's leave the soul first, with your mind and with your strength. That's your body. So he mentioned the three aspects, major aspects of a human being. But he included the soul. He included the soul, which was trying to express the fact that you need to also still feel this thing. You need to put emotions into it. You need to feel it. It's a major part of your being. It's a major part of your being. And listen, if in this month you can gain an understanding of how emotions work, you will be able to do better in life as a whole. Not just in your goals, but generally in life as a whole, you will do better if you can now begin to read and notice how emotions work. I discovered that some people are not developed emotionally at all. They are developed mentally. They might even have a PhD. They might even have anything. They are well developed mentally. They are well developed physically, well developed in their spirit, but they have somehow never paid attention to their emotions and they begin to get cheated out of life. Praise God. So let's move forward for today. Part two. You need to learn that you are flexible. That is the biggest thing that God gave you. You are flexible. Animals are predictable. That's why scientists can train animals. There's practically no animal they have not trained and tamed, because animals respond a certain way given a certain circumstance. Their behavior is very predictable. So as wild as lions are, there are people that tame lions. As powerful as elephants are, there are people that tame elephants, because they are very predictable in their behavior. There are people that tame snakes. Praise God. So the main thing that differentiates us from animals is that we can actually control our emotions. Something very interesting happened this week. So I went to play tennis. I like to play tennis. It's part of how I keep fit. So I played with a minister in church, Minister Yeomi. I have to mention his name because I beat him. So I have to mention his name worldwide. So this will be on YouTube. Everybody around the world will see that I beat him, you know. When you succeed, you have to blow your own trumpet. So I beat Minister Yeomi in tennis. It was tough, but I beat him. And so after I beat him and everything, so as we're sitting down, two ladies came. They live in the area. So they came and said, oh, Pastor Kingsley, we know you. Now, I didn't know them personally, but I said, we know you, watch you, and all that. And they said, so, of course, I was just talking with them. I said, okay, so what do you do? This one said, oh, I'm done with university. I'm planning to do I can and all that. Then her younger sister was with her, young, pretty girl, younger. Says, well, what do you do? She says, oh, they say she's about to enter university. So, of course, you know me, I think like that. So, what do you want to study? What do you want to be? Because I'm always passionate about people being their best, living their best life. Not just me. I said, what do you want to study? And she said, anything that is not stressful. Anything that is not stressful. It sounds funny, but that lady, that girl is not alone. This is how most of us think. This is how we think, even as human beings. Anything, as long as it's not stressful. We all fall into this category, so it's not only her. Many times, we live our lives based more on what we don't want than on what we want. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. A lot of times, we live our lives based more on what we are running from instead of on what we are running to. There's a great significance. If you live your life based on what you don't want, you will not be a very motivated person. Let me explain what I'm saying to you. I need some props. Where are the guys that do props for me? Yes, you know you're the one. You don't know you're the one. Somebody hasn't tapped from behind. You two come. Somebody has tapped you from behind already. So, anything, as long as it's not stressful, that's not how to live your life. If you live your life based on what you don't want, you would always shortchange yourself. You need to live your life based on what you actually want. The difference is this. One of them will get you really emotional. Let me explain. So, this guy is looking very, very buffed up. So, he represents money. Come and stand here. This is money. This guy is work. He's a gym instructor. Work out. So, work. He represents work. Now, okay, I don't want stress. That's what that girl said, and that's how we all think. We don't want stress. And this is how you live your life sometimes if you're not careful. Every time you wake up, you are walking towards pleasure, not pressure. Every day. That's what you do. Every time you wake up, there's nobody that wakes up and goes to do something they don't like. You are actually chasing pleasure. That's what you do. That's the first thing you do. So, this guy is work. I don't want him. I'm like that girl. Anything that is not stressful. What I actually want is money. Now, I love money, but the only thing is that as time goes on, I will find out I need work to get money. If I don't love work and I love just money, I will end up being Yahoo. But if I love this so much and I find out that I need this to get this, what I need to do is I need to love this. Because there's no way I can get this. I need to love this almost as much as I love that, if I possibly more. I need to get to a stage in my life. If I love this very well, to get to a stage in my life, I will have, this is what I really want. But if I love this very well, to get to a stage where I will have this more than enough. And I can actually clap first. Let me finish clapping first. I will have this. I will have enough of this that I can actually choose when to have this. Or if to even have it at all. But many people don't like this guy. They just want this guy. And it's on this premise that the whole Yahoo Yahoo starts. Not just for the Yahoo-ow, even for the Yahoo-hee. Oh yes, that whole marriage, that whole relationship is based on people that want to make money that they didn't work for. Both the Yahoo-a and the Yahoo. Of course, I'm not supporting Yahoo in any shape or form. I'm just saying, even the person they are duping, the whole premise they are duping him is promising him money he doesn't have to work for. I'm too old and too smart to ever think there's free money. Thank you, guys. You can sit down for the meantime. Clap for them. Thank you. I'm too old and too smart to ever think there's free money. And please don't ever fall for that trash. There's nothing like free money in this life. Does somebody get what I'm saying? Nothing is what? Free. Anywhere. All right? The only people that do free things are people that are doing mainstream charity work. So good churches, I know there are some mad churches, but good churches or good charity. And even those ones, the beneficiaries are not paying, but somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? So one day somebody called me from Dubai, one of our guys that lives there. He said, "Pastor, I have something for you you like." I said, "Tell me." He said, "There's an investment opportunity to buy property in Dubai." I said, "Great." I said, I'm not buying property because I don't have that kind of money to go and buy. I don't even buy property for Nigeria where they live. Now Dubai. I said, "He said, no, Pastor, you will like this property. Let me send the picture." I said, "No," but he was very excited. He said, "In short, just to come and inspect it, they will pay your ticket and hotel for you to come and inspect the property." I'm too old to know that it's not possible that anybody will pay your ticket and pay your hotel for you to come and inspect property. If they are doing it like that, they would have gone out of business long ago. Because all of us will have Sunday service in their property. Next Sunday, I'll say we are all coming. We have 2,000, 5,000 people coming to inspect. All of us will go and have service in their property on Sunday. I told him it doesn't make any sense. He said, "No." I said, "Okay, what will it take?" He said, "No, just tell me." I said, "No, find out and get back to me." So later he called me and said, "Yes, you have to have made a deposit for the property." I said, "Of course, it's my money they want to use to..." Nobody runs like that. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. All those people that say invest millions, you know, they're on Instagram everywhere. Invest in this and make... My brother, if there was millions there, you wouldn't be telling me. That you are telling me has already made you suspect. Nobody sees million and go and call another person. Has Dangote called you before? Come and see million. Has he called you before? Nobody sees million and call another person. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So that's not part of the story, but it was just interesting. So, so all that behavior of I want to avoid stress, but I want to get pleasure. I want to avoid pressure, but I want to get pleasure. It shows that you don't yet understand how life works. In managing your emotions, you must get to the stage where you become emotional about the things that matter. That means you actually love the things that matter. You must love them. So if I want money, what I need to first fall in love with is not money. What I need to fall in love with is value. I need to fall in love with being a blessing. I need to fall in love with developing products. I need to fall in love with giving service. If you fall in love with giving service, at the end of the day, you will still be rich. And if somebody's getting what I'm saying, by default, you will still be rich. And I wish many young people can grow to the point where they are passionate about something else other than money. You will still get money by the side. But you see, anybody can succeed. It's not anybody that can be fulfilled. Because no amount of money can give you fulfillment. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? No amount of money can do that. Money is good, don't get me wrong, but in itself, it can't satisfy your soul. There is something about you doing something that you were created to do. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? There is a feeling that comes when what you were created for meets with your purpose. When both of you meet, there's nothing like that feeling on the earth. Hallelujah. So don't be like that young girl that said, "Anything, I can study anything." As long as, no, what you should say is, what will I study? What do I love so much that if I'm studying it, I will no longer see the stress as stress? That's what emotion does for you. The thing you are calling stress is something you are not yet emotional about. Once you get emotional about it, it won't be stress anymore. And that's what God, that's how God wants you to live your life. He wants you to go through this earth not seeing life as stress. Somebody get what I'm saying? Because that's what emotion does. That's what passion does. It's like a fuel. It fuels you for free. So when you go through obstacles, you are not seeing it as stress because you are passionate about what you are doing. Somebody getting what I'm saying? Passionate about. If you love what you do, you don't see traffic as traffic. If you love what you do, you don't see the challenges as difficult. You navigate it. I said on Sunday how when you are in love, it's so beautiful. Oh man, I love love. I love to see new couples. I love to talk to them. They are in love. do you have any problem? They will ask you, do you have any problem with your fiance? He said, not. He's just a perfect gentleman, Pastor. I just love it. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. I'll just be laughing. He says, a perfect gentleman. Do you like have any problem with her? She's just Pastor. She's a good girl. Thank you. And you see, like we said on Sunday, emotions are real. At that time, they are not lying. They mean everything they are saying. But that's not true. Like we said also on Sunday, emotions are real, but they are not always true. Reality has not set in. Hallelujah. Because everything you are complaining about your spouse 5 years down the line, they were all there before. Only you couldn't see it. Many people around you saw it. You were just in love. So emotion has a way it helps you or makes you not to see challenges. You don't see obstacles. When somebody is passionate, nothing can stop them. And when somebody is not, nothing can force them. Did you get that? When somebody is passionate about something, nothing can stop them. They will find a way. When somebody is not passionate about something, nothing can force them. You can shout at them, you can move them, you can kick them, they will still not succeed at it. But when they are passionate, no matter the obstacle they see, they will turn that obstacle to a landing pad to get there. The obstacle will become their reason instead of their excuse. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Ah, when you see somebody dating a girl in Benin, and he really likes the girl, the girl's in Uniben, he's in Lagos. Friday from work, he will close early and enter road and go to Benin to go and visit her. And people say, oh boy, now Benin, just they go like this. Like, he say, I'll not be Benin here. No fun now. Once you don't reach Jebo, then I know you're all right. You don't. Now just 2 hours. No fun. Now just here. Benin, now they call here. This same clown, when you are married 5 years down the line, for him to go to the parlor and bring something for you, he will say it's far. Say, can't you see I'm watching news? I can't go to that parlor. It's far. From room to parlor is now far. But when you were in love, Benin, now here. Emotions are useful. You just have to learn how to use it. Because the thing that is fueling that guy going to Benin as if it's nothing, you can use it to achieve other goals and dreams in your life. And that's what many people have not realized. They've not realized that this thing is a great fuel. There's no fuel like it. We're exporting crude oil in Nigeria. If you can export emotion, it will power big things bigger than generators. It can do and undo. Somebody get what I'm saying? Why do those terrorists, those ISIS, and all those people, and co, why are they so powerful? They are emotional about what they are doing. They pay them more, they pay most of them, and they take care of them financially at least. But that's not their motivation. No. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. They see religion and all those things as a very sensitive thing. It's emotional to them. So they can blow themselves up. It's emotional to them. It's the greatest foil ever. You can turn it into your favor. Find out what are the things you need to be emotional about. What are the things that are so important to your life right now? You have to get emotionally connected to those things because they become a fuel that can make you unstoppable in pursuit of that dream. Listen, young person, there's nothing you can be, but you have to be emotional about it because it becomes a fuel. There are two ways to go about life. You can actually drag your way through life and say, oh, school again, oh, work again, oh, children again. And this is how some people live all through. It's a drag. Some people's life from beginning to end is a drag. They are always complaining, oh, church again, oh, midweek service again, oh, meeting again, oh, work again. Oh, if you live like that, you are going to die young. Because you'll be a very frustrated person. Because Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Feeling good helps you. Somebody get what I'm saying? It helps you cope with life. It helps you live longer. It helps you live fresher. People that are happy, they look fresher. I don't want to talk about myself too much. People that are... Some people didn't get it. They will get it next service. We all know that. If a lady is in love, we know she glows, Abby. She glows. People people that are happier just look better, they feel better. It has a great impact on your life. You can't do life like it's a drag, like they are pushing you and forcing you. What are the things you need to get emotional about? Begin to decide them. And the beauty of it is that once you identify those things that you really want to do, that you really need to do, you can now start becoming emotional about it. Like I said, there are two ways to do life. You can drag through it, or you can become very excited about it. You see, and the people that change this world are people that are excited about what they do. They sleep late, they wake up early because they love what they do. They look forward to work day, they look forward to Monday. And most other people say, thank God it's Friday. But people that will change the world, they are the ones that say, thank God it's Monday. Those are people that change the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, this life is too precious for you to live it as a drag, for you to live it complaining. Most people around the world are pent up, they are negative, they are always complaining. Don't live your life like you only have one life. Don't leave it complete. Enjoy the whole process. Are you here, somebody? So there are two ways to live. You can live dragging everything, complaining, or get excited. Now, listen, there are some things you'll be excited about naturally. There are some other things that you will not be excited about naturally. You will become excited about them. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So there are some things you will get excited about naturally without any motivation. There are some other things. It might not happen like that to you because emotions in his nature will always depart from time to time. You need to become emotional about it. Never make the mistake of making a permanent decision based on a temporary feeling. And that's what emotion does. Emotion in his nature is fickle. He's not stable. You need to recognize emotions for what it is. Even though it's a powerful fuel, but in his nature, it is not stable. So you can never use how you feel to determine what is right. You can never use how you feel to determine the true state of affairs. What am I saying? So you wake up, most of you have mastered this one. You that work, you wake up. How many people wake up every day and feel like going to work every day? You don't feel like going to work. But guess what? What do you do? You go to work whether you feel like or not. What I'm saying is that never use how you feel to measure the true state of things. I've heard many people say, I don't love my wife anymore. I don't love my husband anymore. What they're saying is I don't feel like I love my wife. And the mistake they now make is that they start sending that information to their mind. You can apply this to anything in your life. Okay, it must be marriage if you're not married. They start sending that information. I can't live in Nigeria. Some people, that's the one they send. See, all of us feel frustrated. It's not only you. Some people say, this country, I can't live. All of us. I told you 98% of us want to go. 2% are the ones frustrating all of us. They're the ones that don't want to go anywhere. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. But the challenge is that you are passing that feeling to your mind. And this is the way it works. Your feelings send information to your mind. Your mind send information to your feeling. Your feelings send, you are in a circle of defeat. So your body is saying, I can't live in this country anymore. See traffic. See low light. See, you feel frustrated. You send that to your head. Your head begins to think like that. So it stops seeing opportunities in Nigeria. You become one of the most useless people in Nigeria. Stop seeing opportunities. Then, as your mind stops an opportunity, it sends information back to your body saying, we can't live in Nigeria. So you are both passing that information. Now, and the truth is that there are people living in Nigeria doing very well. So you can't use your feelings. What I'm saying is that you can't use your feelings to determine the true state of anything. Just because you don't feel like doesn't mean this is not the right thing. You will not always feel like. Sometimes you will not feel like loving your spouse. I've been a marriage counselor for many years. The five-year mark is where most marriages face crisis. Five-year mark. I still called somebody today. They were having a problem in their marriage. They are talking about divorce. And one of the first questions I asked him is, how long have you been married? And he said the magic number. What's the magic number? I said, what you guys are facing is very normal. Many people overcome it. Don't be among those that will act. Because if you go and marry another person, you will get to this junction again. The only difference is that after a while, you will learn the lesson, maybe in your third wife or third husband. And you will learn the lesson and just stay. But people face that. There are many junctions like that that people face a challenge to overcome. It's the same thing with anything. When you buy your car, there's a certain time they tell you you must bring it in for servicing. You know how they arrive at that number? They have tested the car. They know that any time from this number of miles or any time from this number of what they're using, it needs to be serviced. If it's not serviced any day now, it will break. I don't know if somebody's got what I'm saying. That's the same way it is with every other thing. So in marriage, 5-year mark is a major junction for many couples. They don't make it through. It's tougher. So if you understand that, when you get there, you understand that I might not feel in love, I might not feel excited, but I will stay. And the beauty is that once you stay, continuously doing what you're doing, eventually feelings will come and join you. Feelings initially say, I'm not doing. But when he sees that you didn't back down, he says, okay, I see that you are serious, okay. He will follow you. That's what many people don't know. Many people stop and follow their feelings. Instead of staying, let their feelings come back. Because the feelings will always come back. He has no mind of his own. He has nowhere he's going anyway. Like I said on Sunday, those of you that there are days you didn't feel like going to work and you eventually didn't go to work, you came up with an excuse why you didn't go. You told your boss something and you didn't go. You notice that by 9 o'clock, by 10 o'clock, you are bored. You are saying, why did I even stay at home today? I thought, just go work. Because you responded to how you felt in the morning, not knowing that that feeling would disappear. You would have just gone anyway. The feeling will meet you at the bus stop. Even though that morning, when you woke up, the feeling said, I'm not going, I don't feel like going to work today, I'm not going today. If you continue having your bath, and some of you, you're a master at this, you do this every day. You wake up, especially on Monday, because you have rocked Saturday and Sunday. So your body has started getting used to groove. And Monday, you want to resume routine of work. So that Monday is usually the toughest day. I will get to that as I move on. You must understand that the first days for anything is usually hard. I will get to that as we go on. So, you wake up that Monday, your body's saying, no, today is on that Sunday. Say, no, it's not Sunday, it's Monday. It's Sunday, it's Monday. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Your feelings have this conversation with you every day. So, do you know how you conquer it? You know how you normally conquer it? You stand up anyway. Your eyes might still be closed. Your feelings are saying, we are sleeping today. But your body and your mind says, we have to go to work. So you are dragging your feeling. It's not going, it doesn't want to go, but you are dragging it. He's saying, oh, you are dragging it to the bathroom. He doesn't want to bath. You bath by force. You drag it to the wardrobe. He doesn't want to go. He said, what will I wear? He said, I don't want to go anything. You force it. By the time you are fully dressed on your way out, the feeling is cooperating small, small. By the time you're on your way to work, you've forgotten that you ever were dragging. Because you are trying to remember what assignment you were supposed to submit, what meeting you were supposed to have. Your feeling have joined you by that time. So, what you need to do, whenever you find out the things that are important to you, you need to be able to identify these things. I'll mention a few as we go. Act your way into feeling. Don't try to feel your way into acting. So that's what people do. They want to feel their way into acting. Leave feeling. Act your way into feeling. So there's more chance for you to act your way into feeling than feel your way into acting. So act anyway. Act anyway. It makes sense to tell your spouse, I love you. The first few times will be awkward. Like I've told you, the mistake people make is that when they attempt to do it, it feels awkward and they assume that feeling of awkwardness means I can't do it. No, don't ever be fooled by the first day. The first few days of anything is hard. Maybe, for instance, you want to lose weight. You want to exercise. You want to start going to the gym. You want to start jogging. I can tell you for free, the first day is going to be frustrating. Because your body is not used to it. Your body is used to sleeping. Your body is not used to stretching. And you come to the gym and they say stretch. And you hear crack, 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 crack. And you're saying, I'm not going to do this thing again. Of course, your body is not used to it. This is the same way it will feel whenever you want to do something for the first time. Don't be moved by how you feel. Submit to your husband. Tell your wife, I love you. It's going to be awkward the first few times. Because for men, mushy things are not in our nature. Men don't talk like that, I love you. No, men like to demonstrate how they feel rather than talk about how they feel. Women like to talk about how they feel, whether or not they are going to demonstrate it. But women like to talk about it. So this is where conflict starts. If you offend a woman, you need to say, I am sorry. If you like, go and buy her 10 billion flowers. Buy her, give her money. If you have not said, I'm sorry, you are not yet sorry. In the world of men, if you offend him and you go and buy him his best food, ewa goyan bread, he has forgiven you. He knows you are sorry. But you see, women want to hear the word. So for the man, there's going to be a struggle in saying it. So the first few times you say, I'm sorry, or you say, me sometimes, I send it by chat. Because I still feel awkward saying I'm sorry. It's very awkward. So I send it by chat. Thank God for WhatsApp. I'm sorry, baby. It won't happen again. She understands that it's a struggle for us to talk. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, but the key is that as you keep saying it, it gets easier with time. So what I'm saying is that act your way into feeling. Don't submit or surrender to how you feel. If you want to do exercises, act your way. The first few times it's going to be hard, it's going to be awkward, but act your way. You want to start eating healthy, you bring out salad instead of bringing out your normal fufu and different things you like to eat. You bring a salad, it's going to taste awkward the first day. But I can guarantee you, if you continue eating that thing, a time is going to come, you are going to actually love eating it. A time is going to come, you are going to miss eating it. Somebody get what I'm saying? The reason why many people have never succeeded as much as they should is that the first few times they tried whatever they needed to try, just because they didn't feel like it, they stopped. Not knowing that they should have pressed on. You want to grow spiritually? You want to really be spiritual? You want to grow spiritually? I can guarantee you the first few times you try to pray, it will be very awkward. You will not even feel anything. First few times you open your Bible, you won't even understand what Jeremiah is talking about. How many people say, I don't even understand? Then you stop reading. No, no, no. Continue reading. Continue praying. After a while, you'll be on auto cruise. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And that's where you need to get to, where it is flowing naturally. If you are going to grow, you must get to that point. But if you give up on the way, you will never get there. So take action. Oh, the Bible says, forgive those that offend you. This one is very cheap for many people. As in, it affects many people. Forgive those that offend you. They didn't say, feel like forgiving those that offend you. Did you see the difference? I can guarantee you, if somebody really offends you, you will not feel like forgiving them. I can guarantee you. But you see, the Bible didn't say feel like forgiving them. The Bible said forgive them. There are two different things. There are many things I do that I don't feel like. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Many people are confusing the instruction to mean feel like forgiving. I don't feel like forgiving some people. I just forgive them anyway. And if I forgive them anyway, eventually the feeling will come. Did you understand that? You will not feel like, I said person didn't really offend you. If it's really offend you, real one, I can tell you, you will not feel like it. But they said, forgive them. Once you forgive them, and God won't ask you to do something you cannot do. If God says you can do it, then you can do it. You need to stop telling yourself, I can't. That's the mistake. Your mind and feelings are communicating, saying, we can't, we can't. You can. You can do everything God says you can do. He said he's the one at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Anything he says you can do, you can what? He says his commandments are not grievous. That means if he tells you to do something, you have the capacity and the ability to do it. If he says you should pray, you have what it takes to pray. You don't have to feel like praying. Hallelujah. There are many times I start to pray and I don't feel like, but I'm too old now to be waiting till I feel like. God is hearing me, so I'll continue praying. What happens is that after some minutes, the feelings will come. Feeling is a great fuel, but it's not a great GPS. It's not supposed to direct you. It's supposed to just assist you. Are you here, somebody? Tell your neighbor, it's easier to act your way into feeling than to feel your way into acting. So what are the things you need to do? Forgiveness, for instance, act on it. Prayer, act on it. Going to church, act on it. Oh, there are many times, and for many people tell me this one, that the days they didn't feel like coming to church the most was the day God had a word for them. If you don't know this one, Satan is just messing you up. Any day you don't feel like coming to church the most is that day gone. You must not miss church. I've seen too many people on this one. Praise God. Don't follow your feelings. Feelings are not meant to guide you. I've been a pastor for 20-something years. I can tell you it's not every day I feel like coming to church. But I'm too old to know that it doesn't matter how I feel. By the time I get here and the worship starts, by the time I get here and the prayer starts, the feeling will come and join me. Don't let your feelings dominate you. Start making it a practice to dominate your feelings. Hallelujah. I will start to close from here now. So, when you find the things that you must do, start to get emotional about them, because at every point in time, your emotions is the loudest reason why you do anything you do, how you feel about that thing. So people generally pursue pleasure rather than pursue pressure. They pursue pleasure. So you need to start seeing what you want to achieve as something pleasurable. Stop identifying it as something hard. Stop calling it stress. You need to start calling it something you like. Stop seeing it, because your body gets that language. Your mind gets that signal that this thing is stressful. Once you see anything as stressful, let me tell you what happens to you. Once you see anything as stressful, you'll be looking for a way to escape it. Unconsciously. Somebody get what I'm saying? Once you identify something as stress, you'll be finding ways to escape it. Once you identify something as pleasure, you'll be finding ways to do it. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So I've seen people that tell me they don't have time to read their Bible, but they read all the comments on Insta blog. So he has time to read. He identifies the story on Insta blog as pleasure. He identifies the Bible he needs to read as pressure. Is somebody getting this? You need to start identifying it as something beautiful. Identify it as something you like to do. Something you like to, something you look forward to. Become emotional about it. Hallelujah. So I was sharing how that I lost a lot of weight, you know. I went from wearing extra large to now I can even wear a medium shirt. So, but how did I do it? Number one, I got emotional about it. So I bought many clothes that were my future size, and I try it every day. It wasn't entry for a long time, but I kept trying it. I had to make an emotional connection with my dreams. Many of you, you don't have an emotional connection to your dreams. You are living like that lady I mentioned. You want anything as long as it's not stressful. No, you need to want something in particular and become emotional about it. If somewhere you want to get to your career, start dreaming about it every day until you become emotional about it. If it's somewhere you want to get to in your life, start dreaming about if I want to buy a car, ask my wife. In fact, not even a car, it's the same way I do anything I do. Once I like something, I will focus so much on it till I become emotional about it. I need to love it that much. So you need to emotionally connect with your dreams. What are your dreams? Are you emotionally connected to it? What are your dreams? Become emotionally connected to it, because you need that fuel. So that's what I did. I used to weigh myself every day, try my clothes every day. She would say, you can't lose weight every day. I say, it doesn't matter. But I need to get emotional about this thing. Or else I will get tired. Because at that time, moving from eating rice, I like rice. I can eat rice morning, afternoon, night. And I don't eat one round. So moving from eating rice to eating salad, trust me, at the beginning it can be tough. So I needed to keep distracting my mind from the stress of eating salad. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Get emotional about it. Emotionally connect to where you're going. It needs to become something exciting, something that you are totally obsessed about. All right? So that's number one. Number two, surround yourself with people that can motivate you to achieve anything. So in other words, if your goal is spiritual, If your goal is spiritual, you need to be surrounded by spiritual people. It's one of the cheapest ways. What happens when we are surrounded by people that are good at something is that we draw from their own energy. We draw from their own emotion. So, because those people also are emotionally connected to the same goal I am emotionally connected to. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? See Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. See what it says. Hebrews 10, 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some people is. It said, but what? Exhort one another. Give me NIV or something. One version says, encouraging one another. Look at the version that says that. Thank you. It says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. They don't come for service. It said, but doing what? Encouraging one another. This is the key to getting to anywhere you're going. He said, and all the more as you see what the day. So our goal is being ready on that day. They said, as you are seeing that day approaching, don't miss our opportunities to gather with other people that are also looking at that day. Because on this journey to get into that day, once in a while you will get tired. But the good thing is that if you're surrounded with people going the same way, they will motivate you to go. And some days, they will get tired. And you are the one that will tell them, no, we have to go. Is somebody get what I'm saying? Don't pursue any big dream without being a team of people pursuing that dream. Connect with other people that are connected to the same dream. I remember the very few first times I started jogging. It was many years ago. I started jogging. So I used to jog with my associate pastor. Then, as we'll be jogging, I'll get tired quickly. And I'll say to myself in my mind that once we reach that pole, I will stop. Those of you that jog, you know what I'm talking about. That once I hit that pole, my power don't finish. And you see, at that time, I meant it because that's really how I felt. I felt I didn't have any more power. But once I got to that pole and I tell the guy, Mok, we stop. He will say, no. We're almost there. Let's not stop. And just that his motivation will keep me what? Going. I didn't know I had more power in me. It's like when you were young and you feel you are so tired, you can't move, and your father calls you. You thought you didn't have power. You had power. When the right motivation came, you stood up. And that's how you get to your dreams. Because along the line of chasing your dreams, there are many points you will get tired. But if you are surrounded by the right people, they will speak strength into you. So many believers never grow because they are solo believers, solo Christians. So when you're facing a temptation, facing a trial, facing a hard time, there's no believer around you to encourage you. Is somebody getting this? You never read the Bible because you don't have anybody you discuss Bible with. So nobody's going to challenge you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Surround yourself. Sometimes too, when I'm jogging with that guy or even alone, and I'm jogging and I've said to myself again that once I reach that place, I'm going to stop. As I'm jogging, I'm about to stop. I'll not see a church member. He said, Pastor, you're jogging. I said, yes, I'm jogging. We are not tired. We are moving. Just by seeing someone that knows you, you don't want to stop at the run. Somebody gets what I'm saying? We are highly motivated by accountability. We are. Trust me, you will do anything better if people are watching. When you're the only one there, you can talk yourself into stopping. If you're the only one, you say, what am I trying to prove? I don't try. At least I don't jog. I don't sweat. But once there are people there, energy will come. There was energy since. You didn't surround yourself with the right people. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Surround yourself with the right people. It motivates. Get coaches for things that you want. So one of the things I also did was that I got people that wrote us good diet plans. Uzo is one of those people. What was your business? Shaper? Is it Shaper and... Where's Uzo? Where's Uzo? I saw Uzo now. Okay. Shape and beauty. Is it Shape and beauty? Shaped and beautiful. Okay, that's our Instagram handle. So she wrote us a diet plan of how to eat healthy and all that. The problem is that I got coaches. I couldn't depend on just my own knowledge. I got coaches for tennis. I got coaches for dieting. I got coaches for exercising. This guy's twin brother was helping with exercising. I got those, and I got my chief coach. My wife. chief coach because she knows if she doesn't cooperate, we can't succeed. If she brings Amala, it's all over. So she's the main coach, making sure we are keeping up. The important thing was that I was drawing strength from other people. That see, you are not required to be strong all the time on your journey. You're just required to be surrounded by people that are strong. That's all that is required. Is somebody getting this? So let me recap and I'll close. Number one, get emotional about the things that matter. Number two, act your way into feeling. Take action. Do the thing you want to do, whether you feel like or not. Feelings will join you. And number three, surround yourself with people that can help you achieve your goals. And I guarantee you, you will achieve more with your life. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord a big hand.